Forgers and Artists, True Stories. Narrated by Paul Spera. Adolfo Kaminsky, The Da Vinci of Fake IDs. During the Second World War, and for 30 more years afterwards, Adolfo Kaminsky, born in Argentina on October 1st, 1925, was a forger. Not for money, not for glory, not to denounce a corrupt system, but to save lives, with equality between men as his guiding rule. Adolfo Kaminsky was born of Russian Jewish parents, who were forced into exile in Argentina after Tsar Nicholas II of Russia published the October 1905 Manifesto. The pogroms drove them to Marseille, where they thought they were safe. But they were expelled as Reds after the Russian Revolution of 1917. They arrived in Turkey, near Istanbul, where they survived in extreme poverty. And finally, to Argentina, where Adolfo was born, forever marked by the idea that a piece of paper gives a man his value in the eyes of others. In an interview with Hasina Meshai in 2017, he explained that he understood during those years that identity papers afford, quote, the right to have rights. The Kaminsky family ended up settling in Calvados, Normandy in 1932. Adolfo recounts, "The day I started school in Normandy, my father told me, above all, say that you are an Argentinian, not Jewish. I wrote Jew, I got confused. And yet, I went to Sunday school. I was a Jew who knew nothing about Judaism." At school, he dabbles in printing, publishes a fanzine with recovered material. Adolfo is passionate about painting, but his parents' social status prevents him from pursuing this path. He has to work. He starts out as a factory worker, then is hired as an apprentice in a dye factory, thanks to his taste for ink, chemistry, and colors. His boss, a chemical engineer, passes on to him his knowledge and love of chemical experiments. The war breaks out a year later. His mother dies in mysterious circumstances near the train station on her way to warn Adolfo's brother that he's been unmasked as a Jew. In 1942, Adolfo is arrested along with his father, sister, and brothers. On the train to the camps, Paul Kaminsky, the eldest of the siblings, writes letters to the Argentinian consul asking for its protection because of their citizenship. He takes care to write down each of their names. He throws many copies of these letters out of the window of the train, hoping that one of them will be picked up and eventually reach its destination. The Kaminskys' destination is Drancy. They are sorted. Some to work, others deported for the gas chambers or medical experiments. The Kaminskys are kept in the camp by the director, Alois Brunner. 3 months after their internment, the Argentine government miraculously intervenes, and the family is released and sent to Paris with no prospects, but with their lives saved. As Jews, they're still subject to anti-Semitic laws. Adolfo realizes that as a dyer, he has essential knowledge that can help resist the occupation. Whitening or darkening fabric is not so different from putting or removing ink from paper. When asked if he knows how to erase indelible ink, he replies that there's no such thing as indelible ink. Joining the resistance, Adolfo invents a process to remove the blue watermark that covered the identity documents of the time. Even children, from birth, had a food card with the word Jew stamped in red. Adolfo Kaminsky became Julien Keller and joined the clandestine laboratory at 17 Rue des Saints-Pères. The toxic vapors emanating from the laboratory numbed the 18-year-old resistance fighter. He made a centrifuge with a bicycle wheel, stamps, and silkscreen printing. When he arrived, Adolfo revolutionized the art of forgery. Penguin, Marc Hamon of his real name, is an active member of the EIF, for Éclaireur Israélite de France. One morning, he orders papers to save 300 French Jewish children. He has only 3 days to provide any document that will allow him to save them: food cards, baptismal certificates, birth certificates. Adolfo knows he has no room for a single mistake. If the forgeries are discovered, the children will be shot, along with those who accompany them. Thousands of lives are at stake. The pace is infernal, 30 documents per hour, 1 hour of sleep means 30 lives lost. Adolfo works until he faints. He's reanimated several times in a row by his comrades. The forger systematically refuses any payment. He wants to remain free, both physically and morally. For him, quote, to be paid is to be dependent. When I didn't like something, I said so, and I didn't do it. Because in all movements, whatever they are, there are always extremists, violent people, even for the right cause. If not for the money, why does he take so many risks? All that human suffering simply revolts him. After his work for the EIF, he makes forgeries for the Jewish Combat Organization, and then for the French Army Secret Service until 1945. After the war, Adolfo becomes a photographer for the Arcourt Studios and major film decorators. He travels around Paris in search of beautiful pictures. Every trace of humanity is made beautiful behind his lens. The workers, the street children, the ladies of Pigalle, the merchants of Saint-Ouen, the old men with pipes, the young people on bicycles, Paris in the rain, thousands of black and white images. At the same time, however, Adolfo never gives up forgery. He meets a former member of the Jewish army on a street corner who asks Adolfo to join the Aliyabeth, an underground immigration network for survivors of the German camps. Betrayed by their own country, they do not know where to go and want to emigrate to Palestine, then under British protectorate. Later, Adolfo continues to defend the cause of the persecuted and oppressed by making false papers during the apartheid of South Africa, the dictatorship of the colonels in Greece, Chile, under the command of General Pinochet, Argentina, El Salvador. He has never set foot in any of these countries. He is, for some time, a mujahid, involved in the Algerian War of Independence, via the Henri Curiel and Francis Janson networks, supporters of the Algerian Independence Army, the FLN. What is important to him, he will later say, is, quote, that there be as few deaths as possible on both sides. I did not fight for the Algerians against the French. It was so that they would not kill each other and live in peace. Until 1971, Adolfo sacrifices his personal and family life in the making of false papers for complete strangers. He loses one of his beautiful green eyes in the fight against injustice because of the chemicals he uses and the intensive use of the microscope and the magnifying glass. He lives for 10 years in Algeria. There he meets Leila. She is a young Algerian Tuareg law student, also a photographer. Adolfo's job at the time is health and safety engineer. His mission? To help workers identify dangerous work and teach them to protect themselves. When he wants to marry Leila, he once again runs into identity problems. He is not a Muslim. So the wedding takes place in Geneva. This entails the necessity to declare their eldest son, Atahualpa, to the Argentinian consulate. It will be the same for their second son, Jose, and their daughter, Sarah. Deeply atheist, Adolfo and his family leave Algeria at the beginning of the 80s when state religion becomes the rule and Islamism is on the rise. The couple decides to return to France, still without official papers. They arrive with their family. They are half Argentinian, half Algerian, but not French. To avoid deportation, it is only then that Adolfo reveals his services to the French resistance during the war. He obtains French nationality and is awarded the Medal of the Resistance and the Cross of the Volunteer Fighter of the Resistance. He finds a job as a street educator for young people in Thiers, on the outskirts of Paris. Deeply humble, he keeps his past a secret from his children. So much so that they will only understand Adolfo Kaminski's incredible bravery when they are themselves adults. In numerous interviews, his daughter, Sarah, recounts Adolfo's life in hiding. She wrote a book about it, published in 2009. This war hero for peace began a new career as an artist photographer with a first exhibition of 70 photos. He was then 92 years old. Other exhibitions have taken place. Others are still scheduled. There are still many images to discover. Did you like this episode? Feel free to comment, share, and rate it. See you soon for new stories. Midnight Studio, addictive podcast creator.